from the day.
Well done. Please be seated. A few weeks ago, as you know, Ian and I spent a week in the Western Isles. And due to recommendations, we went to visit the Harris Distillery. It's not difficult to find the Harris Distillery. It's the first thing you see as you get off the boat. There they make a rather nice gin, with actually, the bottle's rather nice. When I finish the gin, which will take me a very long time, that's going to become a lampstand, I think. And the gin, their big selling point is some of the botanics in the gin is sugar kelp harvested from the sea. And in their PR blurb, they've got the poor soul that has to go out in his snorkel gear to go and get the sugar kelp. In one of the places we visited, they said the gin was actually a sideline, and they're using this to produce an income whilst the whiskey they've made matures, because they wish to sell 10-year-old whiskey, because it goes at a much bigger, much better price than new whiskey. But it's all very well making 10-year-old whiskey, but you've got what to do in the 10 years before you can sell it. So all over the island are barrels of whiskey maturing in people's sheds, and in the meantime, they're getting on making Harris gin. Rather good entrepreneurial spirit. Diversifying struck me as wise, and something entrepreneurs can't always do easily. Our gospel reading focuses on the image of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. What on earth has that got to do with the gin still in Harris getting into diversification? The Bible is full of the images of vines and vineyards. In the Old Testament, Israel is often referred to as God's vineyard. Interestingly, young vines aren't allowed to bear fruit for the first few years, meaning a drastic pruning is needed each season so the plant can develop to its fullest. Now, this is a huge investment on behalf of the vineyard owner. In planting new vines, there will be no return on that crop for years. And these aren't crops that can just be planted and forgotten about. The vines need to be watered, pruned, and tended on a regular basis. Wages need to be paid for the workers to do this long before any grapes are grown for sale. Vineyards are a long-term, labour-intensive investment. An interesting idea when the Bible describes God's people as being like vineyards, a long-term, labour-intensive investment. Left to their own devices, vines are trailing plants that attach themselves to other things. They will grow like wildfire and, without expert pruning and tending, will grow into a huge mess. Vine dressers must cut away those branches which don't bear fruit and also prune back fruitful branches in order to keep the grapes to the standard that is needed, as the richest grapes come from branches very, very near the vine. The further away from the vine the grapes grow, the less good they are. Happily, the vine isn't sentient. I can't imagine how it would feel with all that pruning. At the time, it wouldn't see that it was being done to enable it to be more fruitful. Back in 2001, I was working for my previous congregation in Manchester, and we went through a dreadful period of conflict. Engineered by one person, lots of people became very wound up and tried to resist the direction the church had voted to go in. As is always the case with a church fight, some people left straight away, others mistook anger for activism, and one or two folk were used as stooges for the person pulling all the strings. It took some months to sort out, but part of that sorting out meant that many people chose to leave the church. Numbers went to about half what they were before. Interestingly, money stayed the same. It was a grim time. Ian, being much better at this type of thing than me, felt this was the best thing to have ever happened to the congregation, as it meant we were being pruned. At the time, I didn't really agree. Being in the thick of it, I found the pruning hooks were rather sharp. That congregation got better and it thrived. Last week, it welcomed 13 new members and regularly gets 50 people a week, most of whom are young, two-thirds of whom are black. The pruning was painful, but prepared the growth for 20 more years of fruitful ministry. We know that the communities in John's Gospel, that John's Gospel was written for, were precarious and weak. Their choice to follow Jesus meant estrangement from family and friends. Those who were Jewish and wished to stay loyal to Judaism wouldn't accept the radical claims of Rabbi Jesus. Those who were Gentile wouldn't accept the radical otherness required by rejecting the Roman imperial religious cult, the rejection of ideas that underpinned the Roman Empire, and the radical nature of the gospel, which united people across social classes. To be a follower of Jesus in the first century meant being cast out of family, home, and friendship group. Later, it would mean social isolation and exclusion from economic life and persecution. Jesus' words in today's passage were meant to give encouragement to people in that situation. Vineyard owners wish to get the best yield from their vines and so need to cleanse and prune the vines. God wants the best from the church. Vines that yield fruit, and so from time to time we find ourselves cleansed and pruned. There is a deep mystery here, as after pruning a vine can look dead and useless. Yet from this seemingly barren plant, new rich fruit is brought forth. In my previous congregation, a brutal period of pruning resulted in a rich plant which continues to yield fruit. In different ways as a church, we can think about the experience of pruning. The church in these islands has undergone a period of pruning unprecedented in its previous existence. 54% of the Scottish population define as Christian, yet just 8% here go to church. There's a huge amount of pruning. They say the number of folk going to church has halved over the last 30 years. The forces of secularism combined with more complex lives mean that church going isn't as popular as it was. That can make us despondent. We had the AGM at my church in Stewarton yesterday, and someone mused that the rot set in for evening services when they started to film the Forsyth saga on telly on Sunday evenings. And they all sort of nodded very wisely. I had to ask what the Forsyth saga was. But this decline in church attendance can make us despondent. Yet remember, those seemingly bare, pruned vines which yield much fruit, there is hope. And I think there are three sources of hope. First, ultimately, this is all up to God. In the Reformed tradition, we like to remind ourselves of God's sovereignty. He is in charge. He knows what he is about. He continues to draw people to himself. Our responsibility is not to get in the way. Are our lives attractive to those seeking God? Do others see God's love shining out of us? Remember, God is at work. We just need to attune ourselves to God and ensure we're not in his way. Second, stay close to the vine. Vines are kept short as the vine branches are kept short as the richest fruit comes from those branches nearest to the vine. I think this is what Jesus had in mind today when he spoke in the words we heard Myra read to us. Staying close to Jesus involves prayer, sacrificial love, seeking to live our lives with reference to Jesus. And third, remember the unexpected benefits of pruning. We have no idea what the church of the future in these islands will look like. At the moment, we fear it may be useless and dead. But remember, from that seemingly dead vine comes rich fruit. Will you pray with me? Christ, our vine dresser, you tend the ground and all that grows to make space for fruit to flourish. Remind us of our growth in you. Christ, our vine dresser, you prune, gather, and burn, cutting back dead wood, making room for growth. Keep us close to you. Christ, our vine dresser, without you we cannot live. Because of you, our life and love is true. Help us when we are despondent. Keep us faithful to you, that we may show your abundant life. Amen. Oh, let me turn the